Joyful blessings. This is Kaylin Castell, co-founder of the Shamanic Astrology Mystery School, creator of the Celestial Timings, and co-author of the Shamanic Astrology Handbook. This is a look at the fixed star Sirius. It is the brightest fixed star in our sky, and is often brighter than Saturn, Mercury, or Mars, and is 2 times brighter than the next brightest star. The next brightest star in our sky is called Canopus, and it actually is in the same area of the sky, but it's about half the magnitude of Sirius. Now, we look at magnitude, the lower the number, the brighter the star. So Sirius clocks out at about minus 1.46 magnitude. And Canopus is 0.62. So again, very much brighter. We can look at some other stars just to get an idea. So if you're familiar with where Spica is in the sky, it's about 0.98. Aldebaran is about 0.87. And Antares is 1.06. So actually, Aldebaran is brighter than both Spica and Antares. And Regulus is at 1.36. So Spica, Aldebaran, and Antares are all brighter than Regulus. And those are pretty easy to spot in the sky. So it gives you a sense of the super brightness of Sirius. And this is the star that was most important to many ancient cultures. The Egyptians felt that Sirius was their main star. In fact, when Sirius rose before the sun, called the heliacal rise, rising before the sun, which it does once for a time period each year, that would signal the rising of the Nile, the flooding of the Nile, that they depended on for their crops and for many things, since knowing when the Nile was going to rise was very important to them. Sirius was called Sothis to the Egyptians and has had many different names throughout time, throughout different cultures and ways that they looked at this particular star. But it's been referred to in these different cultures often as a dog star. Dog is also god. It's a god star. So to the Egyptians, this was Osiris and Isis, very important in their mythology. To the Chinese, it was the heavenly wolf or the celestial wolf. And to the Assyrians, it was the dog of the sun, or the star of the dog. And to the Akkadians, the star dog of the sun was the name that they gave to it. So many, many different cultures saw this as being part of the of a dog, of a constellation that's also known as Canis Major. But that comes to us from the Greek and Arabic ways of looking at the sky that we've inherited and that we look at now. But basically, we could say that Sirius is the dog star. It's also connected to the dog days of summer. So when Sirius disappears and is with traveling with the sun, those are the hottest days of the year. And so the reason that they're called the dog days is not because that dogs are lazy or dogs or somehow it has something to do with dogs per se, but it has to do with the fact that the sun is traveling with the dog star, or the star Sirius that is connected to the dog. The dog that leads and a star of the south, just some different things. You can look it up in a book that talks about star lore and their meaning, and you can get some more information. There's just a lot about what the deal was with Sirius. Now, when Sirius is in opposition to the sun, so when Sirius was conjunct the sun, it's the summertime, and when Sirius is in opposition to the sun, it's the time of winter, the time of cold, and that's what's happening for us now. Something that's really significant about what happens with Sirius right now is that on January 1st, or around that time, sometimes it's closer to the 2nd at this time, because there is something called precession and it will shift over time. But the star Sirius is on the midheaven, or at the highest point that it can reach on the ecliptic, or on the path, of the sky directly overhead at the time of midnight at the New Year's point. It's not always going to be the case, but that is the case currently and will be that way for hundreds of years, maybe even longer. So Sirius has been seen as an important signal for different timings, when depending on where Sirius, if Sirius is rising just before the sun, if Sirius is on the midheaven at midnight. We know that currently, if Sirius is Sirius conjunct the sun, is happening around July 5th or 6th, and when the United States Constitution was, or not Constitution, but actually the Declaration of Independence was created, it was when Sirius was conjunct the sun on July 4th, and it's now shifted slightly so that it's happening a little bit later. So these stars can shift into different seasons and different timings. Now, the artifacts of many ancient civilizations, the things that astronomers and archaeoastronomers can have found, is that they saw Sirius as a huge importance. A lot of mythology is connected to Sirius, and some mystery schools have considered it to be the sun behind the sun. It actually is a lot brighter than our sun, but it's so far away that our sun, of course, is brighter to us because of our proximity to where it is. It's bigger, and there's actually more than one star that's connected there. We can only see one with the naked eye. Some would say that because the sun is the source of light and life for our planet, that Sirius really is the source of the potency of light and life in the more ethereal world. And it's the light that shines in the east, the spiritual light that illuminates the physical world. And others say that it is more of a, you know, there's lots of debate around that. It's, you know, it's not the central sun necessarily, because in our solar system, we are definitely going around the sun. And so, but the idea that there was this star that was so important, and that it really was the basis of some, for the Egyptians particularly, their entire system, their way of their spiritual system or religious system or whatever you would like to call it, was based on the connection to Sirius and when Sirius rose at certain times. So there, as I said before, their whole, when Sirius rose before the sun, that was their New Year time. That was when they began their calendar. It was a time often for feasts and celebrations and ceremony, heralding the coming of the hot, dry days, now happening in July and August. So that's where we get that, again, that term of the dog days of summer. And so also they found that there were temple sites that were tracking the rising of Sirius. And that even in the Great Pyramid, there was a time when the star would rise, it would light up a passageway, and then the priest or the priestess would stand or sit in the place where the light of Sirius would fall upon them. It was called the Stone of God, and it was the upper end of the Great Gallery. And this was when the sun would fall upon them, Sirius, the light of Sirius would fall upon them, they would get this transmission. And that it would help to perfect our light bodies or the person's light body. And then they would be able to transmit that perfection to initiates. So initiates would stand with them when that happened. So this was to help illuminate one, you know, like particularly at the third eye in the crown chakra. So they would use the light of Sirius to energize that. And so if we think about it, you know, that they took the time to build temple sites where they could capture the rising light of Sirius and for their initiation ceremonies, that we know that that starlight was really powerful. Now, there's a book that was written called Starlight Elixirs and Cosmic Vibrational Healing that I've often quoted in the Celestial Timings, and it refers to the energy of Sirius and what it has to do with. And basically, this is channeled information from a channel, Hilarion, I think is how you pronounce his name. But the book is written by Michael Smolkason, Fred Rubenfeld, and you can go to Hilarion, HILARION.com/stars to to see more about the book. But so they basically tuned into all the stars and wrote about what's the vibrational energy that comes from these particular stars. It's very fascinating. And basically what they say in the book is that the utilization of Sirius can set up an internal vibrational resonance between the subtle bodies. And this will bring a person into a temporary state of harmony while they're viewing the star. So while we're viewing that star, we can get in harmony with that vibrational energy, the light codes that are coming in, which is kind of cool. There's also elixir that can be made from the star, and the elixir can also help bring the physical body into alignment with the vibrational energy of that. So then they go on to say that using visualization deepens the process. And when, you know, if there are certain planets, of course, that are passing by the star, that's going to magnify. And this is something that the alchemists would agree with. Whenever a planet was within 6 degrees of Sirius, then that the power of that star would be magnified by the energy of that particular planet. So Sirius then is a star that has been seen as having the ability to create, to help liberate us from anything that holds back our evolution. And that, you know, if we think about we celebrate the birth of the United States on the 4th of July, Independence Day, but other countries, Canada, France, and so on, also celebrate their Independence Days in the month of July, connecting to that particular star. Ancient wisdom says that there is occultism hidden in the names that have been given to various stars by astronomers down through the ages, and that has yet to be realized. Esoterically, Sirius is also connected to Regulus. And so we can see them in the sky, and they'll often be in the sky at the same time, and work with both of those to connect with the star codes, the light codes that are coming in from those particular stars. And Sirius is the star of Christ consciousness. So, and that is connected to the heart, and that's activating that heart energy. So there's a lot of powerful information. Thoth, Hermes, Tris, Megistus, something that we do in the invocation for shamanic astrology, is very much connected to this star, the star of Sirius, and was invoked by the Egyptians and the Greeks, and connected to the Emerald Tablets. And also the Dogons felt a connection, and they believed that Thoth, Hermes, Tris, Megistus, and the, you know, their whole tribal culture, let's say that the Greeks and the Egyptians believed that Thoth, Hermes, Tris, Megistus originated from Sirius, and the Dogons also believed that they originated from Sirius. So there's a lot of different cultures that have seen it that way. So this is just to give you a little sense of the power of this particular star, and that you'll, if you want to tune into another, I'm going to do another audio on the planets as they pass by and how to connect with that particular star energy, or how they magnify and amplify that particular energy of Sirius, the brightest star in our night sky.